read from Luke, the 10th chapter and the 38th verse. And it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Everybody say, at his feet. There's something special about being at the feet of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and ask them, how long has it been since you've been at the feet of Jesus? How long has it been since you've allowed yourself to get lost in his presence? How long has it been since you've allowed yourself to just come to him and, Jesus, here I am. Jesus, I want to be in your presence. God, I want to be at your feet. God, I want your spirit to move and flow in my life. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. He says, I'm excited that you want to be a servant. I'm excited that you want to be involved. I'm excited that you want to make it as good as you can possibly make it. But there's one thing that is needful. There's one thing that we've got to have. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would speak today, God, that your will and your way would be done in this house. Lord, that your anointing would move and flow in this place, that you would speak and that your will and your way would be done. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated this morning. I'd like to welcome all of our guests in this place this morning. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We're honored that you're with us this morning. Also, we were going to the Gideons for the giving away of Bibles, putting them in hotels and hospitals. They're with us this morning, and they were going to speak in Sunday school, and we'll see what kind of time we have later, but we're going to give an offering. We're going to get an offering. God's just kind of taken over, and so, but we're going to give an offering, and so we're excited to be a part and to help with that. The last few Sundays, we've been talking about Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This morning I would like to talk about bringing your burden to his feet. I'd like to just talk for just a little while. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I want us to understand the importance of bringing our burden to where he is. There's something about bringing what we have and what God is doing and the things that are going on in our lives and laying them down at his feet. We live in such an atmosphere that surrender is not something that is in our word, that's not in our vocabulary, that we are Americans, we do not surrender. We are Americans, we live victoriously. We are Americans, we have it all together. Everything is good, everything is right. It blows my mind, some of the stories that I hear of the things that come out of the school over there at the high school just across the street. They have paid counselors that go in and they sit down and talk to the students over there. And the things that are said, the things that are going on, the things that are happening just across the street of families and lives of people that are in a middle of the road. We've got a good community. We've got a strong community. It's a middle class community. There's not a lot of poverty and just things that are wrong in Moss Bluff, Louisiana. But the stuff that happens in underlying, the stuff that we have learned to cover it up, we have learned to make it look pretty and make it look nice. But there's an ugly underbelly of everything that goes on. There's an ugly underbelly of the things that are happening and the stuff that goes on in our world that we've learned to just take it and package it up real nice and make it look pretty and everything is all right. But at home, it's falling apart. At home, there's war. At home, there's violence. At home, there's people being drugged by their hair through the house. At home, there's curse words. At home, there's violence. At home, there's things that don't line up to what it looks like when we come out of the house and everything is in its place, when every hair is fixed and everything is right. But behind closed doors, when everything else it seems like is good, but there's something else that is underlying. There's something else that goes on in our lives. But the problem is there's no good place to talk about these things. There's no good place to bring these things to as a Christian. Oh, you're supposed to have it all together. You're supposed to have it all figured out. So by the time we realize that there's a real problem, by the time we realize that it's gone beyond just one good church service, by the time we've realized that we're in a world of hurt, we find ourselves in a place that who do you go and talk to about it? What do you do? Where do you go? What happens? What is the next step of the situation that is going on? And then we feel like if we do come to an altar, if we do relinquish what's going on in our lives, if we do lose it for a minute per se, if we finally just let it go and let God in our lives, we worry that what would somebody else think about us? What is somebody else going to say? What are they going to do? What is everybody else's thoughts going to be about my situation? You see, we've got to understand, how long has it been since you've allowed yourself to be at the feet of Jesus? We've got to understand the importance of surrender in our lives. We've got to understand the point that we can't just make it. We just can't keep doing it. We just can't keep pushing through. At some point, some place, some way, you've got to be able to come to an altar and say, God, I surrender. I surrender all of the junk. I surrender all of the ugly. I surrender everything that's not right. I surrender all of the pain. I surrender the words that come out of my mouth, the thoughts that are in my mind, that I surrender it to you. We look at the story here as Martha is upset. She's saying, what is the problem? What is the situation? I'm in here working. I'm serving. I can relate to Martha getting the job done, making it happen, working, making sure that everything is right, trying to get it in its place, trying to make it better than what it was, trying to make sure that everything is taken care of. That's a place that we find ourselves in our relationship with God. We find ourselves in a place, as Martha did, is that we have to have it taken care of. We're in our spot. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We've showed up to where we're supposed to show up. We're involved in what we're supposed to be involved in. We've given to what we're supposed to have given to. And Jesus looks at Martha and he says, I'm so thankful that you've taken care of this. I'm so thankful that you've got a servant's heart. I'm so thankful that you're involved and you're where you need to be. But you've got to understand there's still another aspect to this. I know you're upset that your sister is at my feet, but being at my feet is more important than being in your spot. Being at my feet is more important than all of the other stuff. That's just all window dressing if you haven't been at my feet. That's just all something that we do if you haven't been at my feet. Mary made it a habit. She made it something in her life. It was something that she did, because when you read about Mary, Mary found her way to the feet of Jesus quite often. When her brother Lazarus died, we find Mary as he begins to make his way back to where Lazarus was, where his body was laid. He was late, and Martha made sure that he knew that he was late. But Mary approached Jesus differently than Martha did. Martha met Jesus first. And then when Mary showed up, the scripture says that Mary went down to his feet. There was something about her relationship with Jesus that she understood that there is power when we surrender at his feet. There is power about when we, God, I give it to you. God, I surrender it to you. God, I want to be at your feet. I was reading an article this past week, a man that had worked in the royal house in England for years and years. He wrote an article there in the London Telegram about how that it is no longer needed to bow or pay respect to the royal family. That people will do it out of respect, or they might do it just out of what it's supposed to be done, and family members will do it to each other just because it's what you do and it's a part of their culture. But you don't have, when the queen walks in, he said, you don't have to show reverence anymore. You don't have to bow down anymore. You don't have to curtsy if you don't want to. It's just kind of a formality now. It's just something that they used to do a long time ago, and so it's not really something that needs to be done now. We see throughout the Bible as we find people like the three Hebrews, as the Babylonian king said, I need you to bow down. We see that it was Haman that wanted Mordecai and everyone that he passed to bow down. It was a show of reverence. It was a show of surrender. It was a show of relinquishing their power. There's something about when you go to your knees and you go down that there is no defense mechanism for that. There is no defense mechanism to defend yourself when you are down. You have surrendered yourself to whatever is going to happen. They say if you're attacked by a bear, you're not going to win. So just go into a ball and cover your neck and hunker down and hope for the best. We've got to understand that when you go to your knees and you submit, that is a place of submission, that it is a place that I have no defense system against this. There's no way that I can defend myself when I'm at his feet. There's no way that I can bring up about me and what's going on and what I need and what's happening when I'm this way. It's all about him. It's all about what's going on. It is a place of surrender. But there's no surrender in our vocabulary. There's no place that we desire to allow that to be. It's kind of like with the Queen of England. It's just a formality. It's something we do. It's not what happens at church. It's not the way that we do it anymore. It's just kind of the way that it was. But Paul came to an understanding in one meeting with Jesus Christ as he laid there on the side of that road. He came to an understanding that there's got to be a change in my life, that I can't keep living the same way that I'm living. And one encounter with the King changed everything. This wasn't Mary's first time to be at the feet of Jesus. We read at the place where she comes in, and we all know the story where she takes the alabaster box in Luke 10 and 39. She takes that alabaster box and she begins to break it. We all know the story of how that she went and she began to make sure that Jesus was being in John 12 and 38. We all understand that story where she came in and she was there. The scripture says that they were at Simon's house in Bethany. This was not her home. This was not a place that she was familiar with. This was not a place that she was comfortable with. This was a stranger's home. This was somebody else's place. But there was something inside of her that it didn't matter what anybody else was doing. She knew that she needed to worship Jesus. She understood that it had been a while since she'd been at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've got to understand that we can't wait till it's in a big church service and everything's going on. We've got to start getting in his presence on our own. You've got to make up your mind on a Monday morning, Jesus, I need to make my house a prayer room. God, I've got to get into your presence on a daily basis. God, I've got to get to your feet on a daily basis. God, I can't keep living the way that I've been living. We We find Mary at his feet when he visits their home. We find Mary at his feet when her brother dies. We find Mary at his feet when nobody else wanted to be at his feet. But Mary made up her mind that I'm going to wash his feet. I'm going to get at the feet of Jesus. We've got to understand that as you begin to look throughout the Bible, as you begin to read throughout all of the stories, all of the different places that we find. We read in Matthew 15 and 30, and the great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, and maimed, and many others, and they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. It's in Mark 5 and 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue named Jairus by name. His daughter was dying at home. In fact, she died in the midst of this conversation. And the scripture says he fell at Jesus' feet. We know the story that Jesus looks at him and says, she's just sleeping. It's going to be all right. You've got to understand that being at his feet is important. Mark 7 and 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. There is something about being at the feet of Jesus. There is something about that moment of surrender. There's something about that place when you get to your wits' end and you understand, I can't go any further. I can't keep living the same way that I've been living. I can't keep going through the same things that I've been going through. So what did she do? She went to the feet of Jesus. What did Jairus do when his daughter was dying? He went to the feet of Jesus. What did the maimed do, and the blind, and the ones with the palsy? What did they do? They went to the feet of Jesus. It was Mary Magdalene that we read in Luke, the 7th chapter and the 37th verse, that she walked in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. She had been delivered from devils, and she went down and she fell at Jesus' feet. She began to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. There's something about being at the feet of Jesus. There's something about finally getting to a place of brokenness and saying, God, I need you in my life. But we've got it all together and we've got it all figured out, and we walk here Sunday after Sunday like nothing's wrong, and we leave to the same old junk that we came in here to, and we try to keep fixing it all by ourselves. But there are some things that cannot be changed until we get to the feet of Jesus. There are some things in our lives that will stay the same until I finally make up my mind, God, I've got to have you. God, I surrender myself. God, I'm coming to you on a Sunday morning. God, I've got to have you in my life. We've got to understand that it was the 10 lepers that came, and Jesus healed them, and they left. And the scripture says that one of them, a Samaritan, stopped in his tracks, and he came back to where Jesus was, and he fell at his feet. The scripture says, and he began to thank and worship him. And while he was at his feet, Jesus said, not only are you healed, but ye are made whole. Not only are you healed, but ye are made whole. We've got to understand that it's at his feet that Jesus can work miracles in our lives. We read and we find the man, it says in Mark the 5th chapter and the 5th verse, and always night and day this man was full of devils. He was in the mountains and on the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. In one writing in Luke, it says that he fell in front of him. Luke 8 and 35 says that this way, after the story is over, and when they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Where did that happen? It happened at his feet. It happened at a place of brokenness. It happened at a place where they said, Jesus, I'm coming to where you are. I'm not walking up to tell you what you need to do. I'm coming up to surrender. I'm not showing up to act like I've got it all together and everything is all right. I'm coming to surrender. I'm not showing up to let everybody else know how great I am. I'm coming to surrender because it at your feet. Brother Pugh, it talks about how that the yoke is easy and his burden is light, but I don't feel like it is. When was the last time that you allowed yourself into his presence? We're really good about picking things up. We're terrible about laying things down. We're really good about picking up other people's issues and picking up our own issues and hiding our issues and letting them grow and letting things happen in our lives. And we're really good about keeping it all locked away, but we're really bad about coming to a place where we say, God, I've got some things I've got to empty out. I've got some things that I've got to leave here. I've got to face some things that are deep down inside of me, God, that the only way that they're going to get out is through a broken place. The only way that they're going to get out of my life is if I release them to you, oh God, that your spirit would move and flow. You see, the problem is as John 7:1, and after these, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jerusalem because the Jews sought to kill him. He would not go to where they were. He would not go to what was going on there because they didn't want him to walk in their presence. You've got to understand this morning, where is he walking in your life? Are you allowing him to walk in your life, or are you keeping him at bay? Are you showing up and acting like everything is good and your world is fine and your marriage is whole and your life is all right and you're not struggling at work and you're not looking at things that you shouldn't look at and you didn't get a little too excited about the person that flirted with you at work that wasn't your spouse and we act like everything's all right, but on the inside, just little pieces and little things begin to come apart. Things are not what they should be, and we've got to understand that there are only some things that can be touched in our lives is at his feet. There's got to be a place that you quit holding it all together and you make up your mind that I'm going to live in a place of brokenness, that I can't just keep walking through life like everything's all right, because when it crumbles and falls apart, people are going to shake their head and say, well, I wonder how that happened. It happened a long time ago when you felt like everything was all right. It happened a long time ago when it was small and you didn't feel like you needed to fix it, but it just got heavier and heavier. You couldn't worship like you used to, and you didn't pray like you used to. In fact, the moment you thought about prayer, your knees got weak and you got tired. Something about the heaviness that just begins to overcome us. Something about the heaviness that continues to push us down. And we get it all together long enough to walk in like it's okay, long enough to show up to work, long enough to make it look like everything's all right. But when we come home, it's dumped on everybody else around us. When we come home, things that were seemed whole are no longer whole because we've held it together as long as we can. It was Judas that looked at Jesus and said, what is this waste? Judas looked as he stood there, as Jesus sat there with Mary at his feet. And Judas looked and said, that was an entire year's wages. That could have been given to the poor. That could have been given to the sick. That could have been given to people that really needed that. That could have been given to somebody else. So why is this being wasted? He said. Wasted. That's what our relationship with God begins to feel like. Wasted. I come to church and it was a wasted hour. I go to pray and it was a wasted 30 minutes. I come on Wednesday nights and it was a wasted hour. I get my Bible out and I fumble around for 10 minutes and then I quit, and it feels like it was a wasted 10 minutes. But we don't feel like we waste time on Facebook or on entertainment or all these other places. But some reason when God begins to get involved, all of a sudden we begin to feel like time has been wasted. Is it that time has been wasted, or have we gotten to a place like Judas pointed and said, that's wasteful? He said, we could have given it to something else. We could have done something else with that. We could have rearranged that situation. We could have done that a whole lot differently. That is wasteful. You see, the deal is Jesus understood that Judas, the scripture calls Judas a thief. That Judas held the purse to the for all of the money. There's a place in the Bible where there was a couple of women that came and gave lots of money to Jesus. And Judas was the man that holds that money. Judas was the man that put that money in his pocket. He's the one that distributed it. He was the one that made sure that everybody got it. He was the one that made sure that everybody was given what they were supposed to get. But the problem was is that he was a thief. And the scripture says he would begin to hold some back for himself. You see, you've got to understand that God is going to allow things into your life to expose who you are to you, or they will destroy you. God will allow things. God picked Judas to carry the purse, not because he wanted to destroy him, but because Judas needed some things in his life to be exposed so that he could deal with them. But the problem was, is Judas would not deal with them at the feet of Jesus. He would deal with them in back corner alleys. He would deal with them with the Pharisees. He would deal with them in ways as he began to get bitter because his time with Jesus became wasted. What he had given up was now a waste. Paul said it differently. Paul said, I've given up everything. I was rich beyond measure. I had it all. He was from Tarsus. The only way that you could still remain a Roman status and a Jewish status was to be of great wealth. And he said, I lost it all. Most theologians believe that he was married and he even lost his marriage. And when it's all said and done, he said, I just want to know him. I can't. All that other stuff is waste. The only thing that is important is that I can get close to him. There was one young man that came to the feet of Jesus. The scripture says he came running through the marketplace in in Mark, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse. It says, and when he had gone forth into the way that he came, one came running. And he kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He came to where Jesus was. He came to the feet of Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus begins to explain to him, honor your father and your mother, obey the Ten Commandments. I've got that. That's no big deal. And then Jesus said, but you've got something in your life that I'm going to have to expose to you. And what you do with it is going to be up to you, but I'm going to put something on you that you either have to figure out how to get rid of it or how to change it, or you're going to struggle with this. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, your problem is that you've got too much. Go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. Are you saying that money's wrong, Brother Pugh? No, I'd love to have lots of it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there was something in his life that was more important to him than Jesus Christ was. And there was something in his life that was more important to him than walking on streets of gold. There was a heaviness that he carried to that place. And even though he brought it to the feet of Jesus, he was not willing to relinquish it. He was not willing to say, all right, Jesus, this man had talents. He was asked to follow him. He could have written books of the Bible. He could have stood in place that Peter, James, and John stood, but the weight that he carried, he wasn't ready to relinquish it. He wasn't ready to put it down that day. As the scripture says that he stands back to his feet and he walks away sorrowfully, that even Jesus looks at him sorrowfully and he loves him as he walks away. But Jesus never chased him down and said, because of your talents and your abilities, I'm going to cut you a special deal. Jesus never chased after him and said, hey, go ahead and give me that. And I'll just, Jesus never did that. The scripture says he loved him as he walked away. We read in Luke, the 8th chapter and the 48th verse, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon the physicians, neither could be healed of any. That word issue, you can get the, you can go home and you can download a Greek Strong's Concordance and you can find out what that word issue means in the Greek. Or you can read the book of Leviticus, the 15th chapter, and get an idea of what she was dealing with there. She had issues that only women had. She had issues that could not be fixed, and these issues created a problem because it meant that she was unclean. It meant that she could not go to church to worship. It meant that she should not even be in a crowded area. It meant that if she had a husband, which for 12 years, if she'd had this problem, I doubt she did, that he could not even touch her during this time. So for 12 years, she could not have children. For 12 years, she was cursed. For 12 years, she could not go to church. For 12 years, she was marked as unclean. For 12 years, she could not even get close to the house of God under Mosaic law. But when Jesus came walking through the street, the scripture says that she got behind him. She wasn't even supposed to be there. It was against the rules. It was against the law. She was supposed to stay at home and look at all of her problems and sit in depression. She was supposed to sit at home and wonder how she was going to get more money to pay the physicians. And she crawled up behind him, the scripture says. And one way that it's written, the theologian says, she repeated it over and over again. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. What was she saying? If I can just get to the feet of Jesus, I shall be made whole. I've got problems and I've got issues. I've got things in my life that I shouldn't even be here. I've got a history and a past that the enemy says there is no future, but if I could but just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I could just get to where he is, I can get rid of this heaviness. I can get rid of this burden. I can relinquish some of this junk that I've walked in with. I can find a place of peace. I can go back into my marriage with strength. I can walk back into that house instead of a spirit of heaviness with praise in my footstep. There's something about being in the presence of God. But in order for me to get into his presence, I've got to relinquish me. In order for me to get at his feet, oh, I can sneak in every now and again. I can show up to church and y'all can bring it in because you've been praying and you've been fasting. And you've been worshiping. And when we get together where two or three are, what does the scripture say? Oh, he's going to be there. And all of a sudden, God begins to move. And we kind of sneak in. And we get a little piece of it. And we feel his presence. And we might even shed some tears and feel his love and leave. But there's something else about when you make up your mind all by yourself. Devil, today's the day. I'm going to leave some stuff. I'm getting into a place of submission. I'm getting into a place of helplessness. I'm getting to a place where I understand that I can't do it all by myself, and I'm just going to give it to him. How about better yet, why wait till you get to that moment? Why don't you just make up your mind, guess what, I'm going to church and I'm going to get into his presence. It might all be an okay today. You might have everything going all right. It might be all right today, but I might as well go ahead and learn to get into his presence now so that when that day comes, it's not something I'm trying to figure out. It's not something foreign. It's not something weird, but like Mary did, hey, I'm going to get into his presence at my home. I'm going to get into his presence when things and times are bad and everything is wrong and my brother's died. I'm going to get into his presence when nobody else wants to worship, but this isn't a place that's strange to me because I've been here before. I've been in his presence before. I've found his feet before. This isn't a place that I'm embarrassed of. This isn't a place that I'm afraid of. This is a place where I find peace. This is a place where I find healing. This is a place where my God puts me back together. This is a place where there's joy. This is a place where everything's going to be all right. Oh, Oh, Jesus, I pray right now, God, that your spirit would move and flow in this place. I pray right now, God, that your will and your way would be done. Lord God, there are people that have walked into this room today, oh God, and they've carried great weight. They've carried things that nobody else knows about. God, help us to begin to live in an atmosphere of surrender. Help us begin to live in a way, God, that we bring it to you and we lay it down at your altar. That we quit worrying about what else is going on and what's happening. We quit worrying about finding a place that everything... No. I'm making a safe place. I'm making a place that's my place. I'm making a place at his feet. Mary, what are you doing? I'm bringing something to him. I read a story this week about a young man. They said he was just the perfect specimen. It was during World War I. If you were going to make a poster in World War I, this was the guy you'd want on it. He was from France. They were in battle, and he'd had something smash his arm to a place that it was beyond repair. So when they brought him in, the doctor amputated his arm. He felt so bad that he actually sat and waited by his bed. He said, a young man that looks like this, a young man that he's probably going to have some serious struggles with losing a limb. He says, when the man finally woke up, he looked at him and he said, sir, he says, I hate to inform you, but I had to take your arm. And he looked at him and he said, sir, you didn't have to take anything from me. He said, I gave that arm to France the day I signed up. You didn't take anything from me. I gave that. There's something beautiful that when we come to an altar and God's not trying to take us from us, we're not trying to hide it, we're not trying to be something that we're not, we're just raw. God, I give it to you. God, I surrender this to you, God. God, you don't have to take anything from me today. God, I want you to have this. Mary walked into that room that day with a year's worth of wages in her hand. You don't have to take anything from me, Jesus. I want you to understand that I am broken before you. I want you to understand that this is not a strange place for me. I want you to understand that this is a place that I've learned to become comfortable with. This is a place that it doesn't matter what the disciples say. It doesn't matter what Judas says. It doesn't matter what the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It doesn't even matter what the owner of this house says. All that matters is that I'm at your feet. Lord, I pray right now that there would be people in this room, God, that they would surrender. Lord, that in their lives, oh God, that there would be things, God, that they would leave in your hands. Lord, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light, but God, this burden that we carry is so heavy. It can't be the one that's in your word. You're right. It's one that we've created. It's one that we've picked up. It's one that we've loaded our wheelbarrow full of all the cares of this world and life. It's one that we've got everything in our world hid in. It's everything that we've carried along. But today, God's saying, give it to me. Give it to me. Relinquish it to me today. Leave it here at an altar. Let me have it today. I wonder if there's anybody in this room that would like to join me at an altar this morning and say, God, there's some things in my life, God, that I would like to give you. I wonder if there's some people that you've carried some heaviness into this place. Maybe your children are backslid and the enemy has convinced you that they're never coming back, and you've carried that weight for years. Maybe it's something the doctor said. Maybe it's a pain in your body that if you walk the way that you feel, you would limp to this altar. Maybe it's something that's going on in your marriage, and you're afraid of what's going on. You don't know where it's going to be this time next year. You're not insecure. feeling about what's going to happen. But God, today, God, I want you to know, God, there's some things that I want to give you. There's some things that I want to lay at an altar today, oh God. There's some things that I can't do all by myself. There's some things, oh God, that I can't keep living the way that I've been living. I've got to leave some weights at this altar. As we all begin to come as a church family this morning, as we all begin to make our way to this altar today, God, I've got some things that I want to